Well, brethren, I titled this particular message, while sitting on my chair, or sitting in my chair, whichever is appropriate at this time, while sitting on my chair. I became, brethren, an unwilling victim to an evil power or force over the frailties of this human body a little while back, about 2 months ago, I believe. And knowing that this evil power or this force was all over the land, I realized I had tried to avoid this force by doing those things to prevent it, this or that. And so far, at that particular time, I had been very successful. And deep down in my thoughts, I thought that maybe I would be able to avoid this evil force over the frailty of this human body. And I almost seemed for a moment, I felt like maybe I'll be untouchable by this. It's been a year and a half and I've done all I know what to do. But then I remembered 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. It became a reality. It reads, "Let one that thinks he stands." And I was thinking I was standing all right, doing well. Had not had no evil force or powers to visit me yet. But it says, "Let one that thinks he stands take heed, lest he falls." And so I begin to think, brethren, that some way, somewhere, somehow, and sometimes for us, we all fall prey of evil forces, one way or the other. And they're usually beyond our control, for we are human. And to me, time and chance seems to, it can happen. It can happen to us all. It doesn't matter what the evil force may be. I remember within a period of time, I was soon to come to the understanding, brethren, that this evil power had come to me. I had been at the wrong place at the right time, I guess. And even though I'd done what I'd been aware of to do for protection against this evil power and force, well, there it was one day. It reminded me of Matthew 24:43. It talks about a certain homeowner and a thief. Why, if the homeowner had known when the thief was coming, he would have protected his home a lot better. I would have perhaps done a little bit better in protecting myself if I had known the exact hour and the day and the time that this force would come upon me. So I said I had prepared the best I could or would. But apparently it just wasn't enough. And this evil force, this virus, if you want to call it this, it found me. And it would also find my very best friend of over 50-some years. And it became a force that we both had to deal with. More so for her than myself. And it was at this time, this power, this force, it claimed much of our attention, as it has for many of us, some here today. This virus has played a lot of havoc on many people throughout this land. And it brings a certain amount of grief for many people who have stood by and witnessed their loved ones or their very best friends suffer if they were able to visit their friends or their loved ones, suffer the effects of this evil force, even to the point of their loved ones or very close friends dying because of it. Now, I would find myself gradually getting better. But I was always praying to God for healing power for my very best friend, my wife. And yes, I found myself at the same time wanting to understand why. Why? Why do some suffer and then die? Why do families see their loved ones suffer or even die? And then why do others sometimes regain their strength and carry on, which is good? But that why went a little bit deeper. This virus, I think we've all noticed that it can cause devastation. And it's just one thing that exists in this world amongst so many other things, not necessarily sickness, but trials and problems that are getting out of hand. But some trials come and go. But this particular force, this particular evil, it still seems to just, it just keeps on lingering on and on and on. And it will change its makeup sometime, its state, its form. But it's still the same evil. Brethren, this evil power, this force, this virus, if you will, is a distraction that we here, we can allow it to rob us of the hope that our God gives us of the world of tomorrow. And sometimes it's so easy to forget what God has said about tomorrow's future for you and I. Acts 14:22. God says it is through much tribulation, through much hardships and troubles, that we enter into the kingdom of God. And that if our hope and our vision is this life, in this life only, we are, and we will be disappointed, pitied, frustrated. Now, brethren, as I sit in my chair at home by myself for several weeks, I pondered, how else will God know how our hearts and our minds are? How else will he know this thoroughly? Are you, am I, are we all loyal to God, developing his fruits of his spirit? Especially that of patience. But it's got to be mingled in with hope and with a vision. Do we have that or not? Will we obey God even if we never receive the answer to the whys of this life? Why this way? Why that way? Why him? Why her? Why me? Why this problem? Couldn't it come another way? But I also recalled Jesus Christ when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. It seems for a moment he would have preferred another way to be our Savior. But he knew his Father's plan, and he knew what had to be done. And he did set us, brethren, the example that we must follow. When he said, "It's not my will, Father, it's not my way. It is your way and your will that will be done. It must be done." And I wondered, is this our thoughts, our heart? Is this mine while I was sitting there? A father understands, brethren, that he knows how we are. He remembers we are dust. He knows how we think. He knows how we reason. He gave us free will. Yet do you believe God will remember your willingness, brethren, to follow him, even if there is no answer to the whys of this life? In Isaiah 49:15, God gives us his answer. He gives us his compassion. He lets us know very clearly, can a mother forget her child or lack compassion for that child that came out of her womb? And then God says, even if she could forget, God says, I will not forget you. Are we willing, brethren, to not always have an answer? For brethren, it's in your heart, isn't it? You fully believe the example Jesus Christ left. Not my will, Father. Not my way. But yours be done. Not just in the easy times, but in the times we question. As I sat in my chair that particular evening, one certain night, it became a time of reflection and thought. Wow, my best friend. Sorry. Laid in the hospital. I realized then that Satan he does not offer us anything. He does offer us the opportunity to be separated from God. And his desire really is to distract you from God. Till you follow Satan and do or think the way that seems right to you. In this process, how you sometimes may want to feel. But yet God says very plainly, there is a way that appeals to us, a way that we tend to think, but the way will ultimately end in death. Why? And believe me, brethren, I thought that. Maybe you have too in your situations. But I also wondered, what could I or you allow in your heart to turn you from God? Unanswered questions, unanswered whys of this or that. But then I remembered 1 Thessalonians 2:4. Sometime we may forget this. God will try the heart. Your attitude. His way be done. And then I thought of Romans 8:38 and 39. When Paul said, "For I am convinced I stopped right there. Are we convinced, brethren? Are we convinced that neither death, and you know, that doesn't necessarily mean your death. Maybe a friend or a loved one, as we've seen this happen here of late. Nor life itself. Our present life, brethren, that we live in, of sicknesses and confusions and rebellions and hatred. Nor the future, the things to come that we know will be more intense than what we see now with the viruses or the sicknesses and the rebellions or whatever we see. More intense. And I've wondered, how could it get even worse? But God says it will. And where God is continually pushed out of the picture, I am convinced that nor heights or depths, the depths and the downs, nor anything else in this creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Do you believe that, brethren? We certainly have been tried with these things, these thoughts, or at least I have. I thought of God's reality and what He offers us, His hope, His vision, His promise to you. That if we remain faithful to God and let Jesus Christ lead us, for God's will must be done, even when we just may not ever know the answers to certain things, we come to understand, brethren, God must know you. He must know you personally. As He came to know Abraham. Abraham had a few trials now and then. He must know us, brethren, before He blesses us with eternal life. For the mind, our thoughts must grow into the thoughts of God first. And then the easy part, the body becomes eternal. Spiritual. All in God's plan and God's time frame through His Spirit working in us. Do not be conformed to this world, brethren, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you may be able to know, to discern what is good and pleasing and the perfect will of God. I mean, after all, God says His grace, His promise to you should be enough. We have that hope. Brethren, Satan offers you nothing. And he wants to even take away what God will give you unless you remain faithful to God. In these trying times of why. Why this? Why that? For we've not really fully seen, brethren. We've not really fully heard, fully grasped what God has prepared for us. But we do know His kingdom is coming, for God cannot lie. Titus 1:2. Brethren, we continually have many distractions in this life. This COVID-19 has been one of them. For it can cause untimely sufferings and death in a lot of people. And to anyone, I have noticed, who's either rich or poor, large or small, spiritually strong or spiritually weak. It can leave loved ones and friends, and I'm speaking of anyone, not just in the church, But it can leave a lot of people with emptiness and shock. That perhaps only time can begin to heal for many people in this world. Yet you who have understanding, you know that in time and lessons that we should learn in this life, and a lot of patience developed, we know that all things, brethren, will work for the good. If not in this life, brother, it will in time. And it will work out in the kingdom. For God is in charge. There is your hope. There is your vision. There is the grace. That is the promise. If you hope in God's kingdom, and if it's deeply embedded in your mind, then you will choose to believe that whatever happens in this life, all things will work out for the good. To those who have the vision and the hope of tomorrow, even when we may not have all the answers now, to this life and the wise, things happen. You choose, don't you, brethren, to remain on this road to godhood. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised you, brethren, eternal life is faithful. Let us, brethren, we need to pray for each other. We need to strengthen each other. We need to fellowship with each other, whatever form that may take. As we see the day approaching, and as we follow 1 Thessalonians 4:18, the best you can. And as I paraphrase, let us comfort each other with words of hope and vision, brethren, of the kingdom of God.